We're less than 2 weeks away from the Republican National Convention in Cleveland. The Democrats meet in Philadelphia the week after, which means not only will we be able to take off the presumptive title for Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, but we'll also know very soon who their running mates will be. To sort through the short list for both parties, let's bring in NPR lead political editor Domenico Montanaro. Hi, Domenico.
Hey there, how are you?
I'm doing well, and we've got some surprise news today in the Veep Stakes, which is that Bob Corker, the senator from Tennessee, has told the Washington Post, and this is, by the way, less than 24 hours after he was with Donald Trump on the stage in North Carolina, has told them that he is not going to be a candidate for the vice president. He's taking himself out of the running. What do you make of that?
Well, that's probably bad news for Donald Trump, because Bob Corker was definitely somebody who gave him some policy heft, chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee, someone who really made a name for himself on the auto bailout, seen as a very reasonable yet conservative senator. So it's somebody who Donald Trump could have used on his ticket. It's not clear Donald Trump would have picked him anyway. Their rollout kind of didn't go so great, and the image of the two of them going around that everyone saw was kind of superficial, but it was Trump being really tall and Corker being really short. Didn't appear to really work.
That matters, the height of the candidate?
Yeah, the optics and the imaging, at least. You want balance on a campaign, on a presidential ticket, and we'll talk about that.
All right, well, let's get to some of the people who are still in the running. And starting with one of the people that Trump met with over the weekend, Joni Ernst, the senator from Iowa. Now, she delivered the Republican response to the president's 2015 State of the Union. Here she is.
There's nothing our nation and our people can't accomplish. Just look at my parents and grandparents. They had very little to call their own except the sweat on their brow and the dirt on their hands. But they worked. And because they did, an ordinary Iowan like me has had some truly extraordinary opportunities.
Domenico, tell us a little bit about Joni Ernst.
Well, she's the senator from Iowa. She's a military veteran. She, you know, rose to fame during her ad for her campaign, where she said that she knew she grew up castrating pigs on an Iowa farm, and that she would go to Washington and, quote, make them squeal. So, you know, the problem, though, I think with her, you know, she brings a lot of energy, but in a way, frankly, she'd be like a do-over of picking someone like Sarah Palin, who she's drawn a lot of comparisons to. And, you know, maybe if Trump wants a shot of energy and hopes that she doesn't make a mistake. And again, do no harm is the number one most important thing that a vice presidential candidate can do. If he wanted to pick her, maybe he would do that to boost a little bit of energy and fire up conservatives. But I'd say she has an outside shot at this point.
All right. Over the weekend, Trump also met with Indiana Governor Mike Pence. Here is Pence at this year's National Rifle Association annual meeting.
We're freedom-loving people in the Hoosier State. We cherish all of our rights, our unalienable rights to life, to liberty, the freedoms enshrined in our Bill of Rights, and Hoosiers have supported the Second Amendment every step of the way, and we always will.
Now, Pence has been in office since 2013, but he's been in politics for a lot longer than that as a member of Congress. What would he bring to a Trump ticket?
Well, he's a heartland governor, brings a level of competence, certainly, and would be somebody who would be a governing pick, but also someone who could motivate religious conservatives. He would affirm Trump's conservatism and dedication to conservatism, and would certainly be a base motivator. And maybe in our highly polarized elections, that's what's important.
The other two kind of establishment names that have been put out there are New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, who, of course, was one of the first candidates to drop out of the Republican primary race and then throw his support to Trump, and former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich. Let's listen to Gingrich here telling Bill O'Reilly on Fox News that he thinks President Obama is a socialist.
He has appointed all these extra constitutional czars. I mean, go through step by step all the different interventionist things in this administration, and it is by a big margin the most socialist, the most left wing, the most big bureaucracy administration in American history.
So he would certainly fulfill the attack dog role of a Veep candidate, but also somebody with a lot of experience in Washington. What do you think about a Gingrich or a Christie candidacy?
I think they're pretty fascinating wild cards. I mean, Gingrich would certainly be a governing pick. It might be him, but not sure what he brings aside from, like you said, a level of being this attack dog and some policy wonkishness, certainly. But he's been out of office for so long that it's hard to see how he captures the imagination of the current American populace. But then again, Donald Trump wants to, quote, make America great again. And I'm not sure which era he's talking about. Maybe it's the 90s. I don't know. Chris Christie would be a doubling down pick. New Jersey brash, certainly different from someone like Mike Pence, who's much more reserved.
Would be hard to run on a platform of making America go back to the 90s while you're running against the person who was in the White House during the 90s.
This election's already in the 90s, Jeremy.
I guess so. Well, anybody else we should be talking about on the Republican side before we move to the Democrats?
You know, Tom Cotton, who's the senator from Arkansas, Donald Trump seemed to like his appearance on Meet the Press. He might be a little young. He's a freshman senator, but he provides a level of kind of sternness and rigidity that maybe and seriousness that maybe Trump could use.
We're speaking with Domenico Montanaro, who is NPR's lead politics editor, about the potential candidates for vice president on either side. And let's move to the Democrats, Domenico. Hillary Clinton has a smaller list of potential options, it seems. But at the top of that list, it's been mentioned over and over again, former Virginia governor and current senator Tim Kaine. I interviewed him last month and asked him about the VP possibility. Here he is.
Jeremy, I'm only playing one role with the Hillary Clinton campaign, and that's doing everything I can to help them win Virginia. Virginia is a state that was pretty irrelevant in presidential politics for a long time and is very relevant now. And so that's the only role I'm playing with the campaign, and I just have this feeling if we can help her win Virginia, she'll be president. So that's my highest and best use, and that's the only role I'm playing.
Okay, that's the only role he's playing right now, but we don't know what's going to happen. What do you think about a Kaine candidacy?
Well, you know, he doesn't bring the kind of diversity that maybe Democrats would be looking for as far as the fact that he's a white man. But that might be the kind of diversity she's looking for. I mean, white men are a vulnerability that she's had. And again, do no harm is a really important thing here. And he is the most risk averse pick because he does stick to the message very well. He's been on a debate stage. He doesn't fire up the base. But again, that might not be the most important thing.
There are three Latinos in the mix. Julian Castro, who is the Housing and Urban Development Secretary and former mayor of San Antonio, Labor Secretary Tom Perez, and also Javier Becerra, longtime congressman from California. Here is Becerra on the East Capitol steps in March.
It's been 273 days since our colleagues in the Senate passed comprehensive immigration reform. 273 days that the Republican leadership here in the House has done nothing.
What do you think of these three?
Well, I think Congressman Becerra probably likes having his name out there and attached to this, but I kind of doubt that it'll be him. I mean, of those three, Julian Castro was somebody who early on was seen as potentially being on the ticket. He campaigned with Hillary Clinton a little bit last year. Wasn't the most outstanding performance. It was okay. But I think of them, Perez, who's Obama's labor secretary, is probably the best bet. Fires up labor. He's got Dominican ancestry. The downside is he's never been on a debate stage, which does introduce some risk.
He's never been elected to office, right?
That's correct.
So the other person that's been talked about a lot is Elizabeth Warren, the senator from Massachusetts. Some people on the Democratic side think that she would bring that Bernie Sanders enthusiasm from the left wing of the Democratic Party into the general election. Let's listen to her with Clinton in Cincinnati last month campaigning together.
We're all here today because we're with her, and we're going to work our hearts out to make Hillary Clinton the next president of the United States.
So given all the people we've talked about, what are Elizabeth Warren's chances at this point?
I think it's very unlikely. I think that as a vice presidential pick, she introduces the potential for risk. She could overshadow Hillary Clinton, frankly, in certain ways. Plus, it's not necessary for Hillary Clinton to pick her to bring the left on board because Elizabeth Warren's already endorsed Hillary Clinton. They had that great event together that they saw was very good. And she can play the attack dog role without having to be on the ticket and get under Donald Trump's skin, which is what Hillary Clinton would hope, without having to be attached necessarily to Elizabeth Warren.
Do you expect that the VP pick on either side is going to be a game changer, or does it really matter who the VP pick is? Are people still voting for who they want to be president?
Well, I'm glad you asked me that 8.5 minutes into our talk because I don't think it matters very much. I think that people vote for who's at the top of the ticket, not who's on the bottom. The first rule of picking a VP, though, what does matter is if they mess up. You have to pick someone qualified who could step in. Do they not do any harm? And you want some balance. President Obama picked Joe Biden because he had more experience and could help him be a governing pick. But you'd be hard-pressed to find a vice presidential pick who's really moved the electorate since JFK picked LBJ, Lyndon B. Johnson, who was really able to bring the South onto the ticket. That is just kind of a mythology in our modern politics that somebody could be able to even bring a state. The evidence that political scientists have looked at is that it's marginal, if any, improvement that a vice presidential pick can give you in even their home state. But they can, again, introduce some potential problems, and you want to avoid those.
NPR lead political editor Domenico Montanaro talking with us about the Veep stakes. And we're going to find out in the next week or two, maybe three for the Democrats, who the Veep candidates will be. Domenico, we'll be watching. Thanks so much.
Thank you.